Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talking football with Anthony Herron as we do on Thursdays. It is the Bears and the Bucks, the late game Sunday. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. All right, Anthony, this came to me last night in that sort of liminal space in between sleep and being awake and just about to fall asleep. And I had to write it down because I sort of had a vision after watching the Tennessee Titans.
And if you don't write it down in that moment, are you going to not be able to sleep? Because I get that.
Sometimes
there's something there.
Yeah, or it'll manifest itself differently and I'll get some sort of like perverted version of it in a bizarre dream that haunts me.
But forget it. That's what happens.
But in this case, I saw the Tennessee Titans run legitimate, real power offense. Mm-hmm. Bringing the fat guys around and allowing things to take a little time to develop. And when I see the way this sets up against Tampa Bay, just hear me out here. I'm already defensive about this because I'm insecure about my football knowledge in the presence of Anthony Herron. But Vita Vea is no fun. And Ndamukong Suh is no fun. And I want to get away from them as quickly as I can and make them chase and tire them out and have them, you know, sucking for wind at the end of the game. Mm. If the Bears were to be patient with that kind of true power run game. I'm talking G lead sweeps, outside zone with trapping actions on the back end, and we're patient with it and dedicated to it. Not only do you force a depleted secondary, if you have the math, you're forcing them to come up repeatedly and tackle and play physically. Forget the coverage for a second. Let Allen Robinson go block a little bit. Let them, you've got an extra hat out there if you get it right. Make them tackle over and over and over again. And then everything you were talking about the half field reads and letting Justin Fields do some things can come on the backside, on the other side of that. What say you to that as the basis for a complementary offensive plan?
I don't dislike it. I don't. Okay. The only issue I would have with it is if for some reason your defense isn't necessarily keeping you in the game against all those Tampa Bay weapons. Now, your approach can potentially limit possessions and get time of possession in your favor if you are having some success running the football. If you're ending up at 3rd and 9 and then you're off the field punting the football consistently with that approach, kind of ramming your head against the wall, then, you know, you're setting yourself up into a pretty difficult circumstance where now you've got Jason Pierre-Paul over there chasing Justin Fields all over the field because he's down multiple scores and you got to throw the football. So I think there's a balance to that. I don't think you want to just ram your head against a brick wall because, you know, you don't have Derrick Henry. You don't have that Titans offensive line, but you do have an O-line that has been effective in running the football. So where I have heard some commentary about, like, you know, basically you got to abandon the run game, I don't think you can go in and do that.
No.
Because you're not the Rams, because you're not the Chiefs, because you're not the Buccaneers. You don't have that available to you in your passing attack. So you need to seek balance. What I also believe you need to seek, though, is the shot play, is those attack opportunities against a beleaguered secondary. So potentially ramming your head against a brick wall with that front seven, maybe the best in football, you're not looking to take advantage of what lacks for them on the back end. That linebacker core, that defensive line, there's a reason the secondary hasn't been exposed yet, because they're so good up front. But when it's there, when you can find those opportunities, they're just so beat up back there. You have to attack that. You have to seek the weakness in the opponent. So, you know, I don't want to see Justin Fields attempting 40-plus passes in this game, but do I want to see them come out and occasionally throw on first down in the first half? Yeah, in a blend with a lot of Alex Bars and hopefully J.P. Holtz, my guy, is healthy and he's able to be on the field as well. I want to see some heavy packages, and I want to see them not necessarily just acquiesce the run game before they've even attempted it, but I do want to see some blended in potential, especially, I'm assuming Matt Nagy and Bill Lazor looking at the same film I did. Justin Fields threw the ball really well last week. And if you feel like what you can set up with Allen Robinson and with Darnell Mooney, maybe with some of your tight ends, you know, shrug. But if those opportunities are available to you, you need to try and attack their secondary with that as well.
That's what I was going to ask. I think the logical follow-up is, do you think that because they've decided to start passing more on first down, this is taking away those shot opportunities, which I would like to see on a second down, per se?
I don't believe it completely takes them away. It's about, you know, kind of the timing and sequencing is a word I've used so much while Matt Nagy was calling the plays. And, you know, now it's not Nagy, it's Lazor, but the same question will still sort of survive until we see wide open receivers, until we see touchdown passes that look like they were set up based off of what happened previously in the game with the Bears. You know, Jalen Hurts with his mobility for the Eagles last week, that opened up run lanes for their tailbacks. So I don't think it's all heavy packages, but I do believe that calling runs for Justin Fields, like I'm, you know, was mentioning in the earlier segment, that should give Khalil Herbert some additional opportunities. But I agree. You don't completely abandon the tailback portion of your run game, and you do take your shots because their secondary is so banged up. And if you can do those things, there's no reason to think that since you have Allen Robinson, that he can't have a big game. Since you have Darnell Mooney, that combination, you know, it's not going to be Evans and Brown, but the Bears version of it, where you have guys who seem to be more than capable playmakers. Certainly Allen Robinson has proven that up to this point in his career, and limit the opportunities that a Jason Pierre-Paul will have one-on-one against your offensive tackles.
Let me give you some facts, and then you tell me what they mean regarding how you plan for this and what it says for what the Bears should do. This is from Next Gen Stats. Tom Brady was at his best in Week 6 on pass attempts when he got rid of the ball in under 2.5 seconds. On quick passes, he finished 24 of 25. For 179 yards and a plus 16.1% completion percentage above average, with the second quickest time to throw this week, trailing only Mac Jones. So far this season, Brady has an average time to throw of 2.53 seconds, which is third quickest in the NFL, and that's helped him excel on play action. He's been 10 of 12 for 116 yards and two touchdowns last week, including a CPOE, completion percentage above expectation, of 14%. Knowing that, what can you do about it?
In theory, that plays into where the Bears' strength has been up to this point in the season. You know, we can still hold out hope that maybe Robert Quinn will be able to be added back to the roster if he's able to, you know, test negative a couple of times between now and then. If no Robert Quinn, then obviously that does sap the pass rush and the potential you have to just get there with four, like they've been able to do really effectively this season. But just like we saw in the game they played against Tampa Bay last season, pressuring Brady with four has always been your best hope for survival. It's the plan that most teams try to go in with. Not everyone has a front four or a deep rotation that can make that happen, because the way Tampa Bay operates offensively, they will supplement, you know, Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette's running abilities with that short and quick passing attack. Even though Rob Gronkowski hasn't been in, you got O.J. Howard, a really gifted tight end out of Alabama, who's coming off a big game also. But when Brady is able to not only just make quick decisions, but comfortably get the ball out of his hands quickly, then yes, that is where he's at his most comfortable. And even at this advanced stage in his career, when he's got a clean pocket, he can still deliver the football deep. But that's been the book on Brady since college. You know, like the photo that got posted on Twitter a couple moments ago, me sacking Brady back in Michigan, it was about keep running the hoop. He's not going to run away from you. Just get upfield and keep working. And if he holds the football, you're going to get home. If he doesn't hold the football, then he knew exactly what we were in, and he's going to be accurate with it.
He was just terrified of your giant shoulder pads.
The shoulder pads.
Yeah, he just thought that it was an anthropomorphized set of shoulder pads running at him.
And I do think that there were several quarterbacks who got crushed by my shoulder pads in college who were never heard from again. Tom Brady, I suppose there's tangible evidence that he was able to go on and be productive afterwards. But for the Bears defense, the fact that they don't need to blitz, but they can, I'm looking forward to that chess match between Sean Desai and Tom Brady. What the Bears defensive coordinator can do to try and just see if you stymie a little bit what Tampa Bay brings to the table. Because if you get Mack rolling, and especially if Quinn is there as well, doesn't look to me like, from the way Akeem Hicks had to leave the field the other day, I'd be surprised if he's able to play in the game. But I don't necessarily need to see like a bunch of tackles from Eddie Goldman or Angelo Blackson. Just eat up blocks, man. Just get a bunch of two-for-ones and make sure you force Tampa Bay to be as one-dimensional as possible. And then from there, you can get Mario Edwards, who, yes, he has some personal fouls and whatnot, but the dude rushes the quarterback at a high level. You need him on the field. You want to see if Brady gets frustrated enough to mush him in the face too, because it means you're taking him down to the ground. Get those pass rushes out there. Get those racehorses rolling, but I need to see the interior of that Bears offensive line, because the Bears defensive line, because Tampa Bay, they're not a very lateral. They're not a very exterior sort of rushing attack. It's going to happen between the tackles. So you got to shore that up. Make sure you eat up as many blocks as possible so Roquan and Alec and Danny just feel like they can feast on what's happening on the interior.
And as a player, what did you think of Jalon Johnson's posting of the fine that the Bears levied him? For $2,745 for being what he said was a minute late to practice.
It's late. I mean, you know, football time is fairly similar everywhere. Like, being on time is usually at least, you know, theoretically considered late in most football situations. So being legitimately 1 minute late, he was probably really a good, like, 10 minutes late in football time anyway. So, I mean, you know, I would assume Jalon Johnson, while he doesn't love giving up $2,700, I think between that, between, you know, whether it's the Jimmy Graham tweet from earlier in the season, whether it was, you know, I got to talk with our guy Lance Briggs on Tuesday night about Eddie Jackson on Twitter. I don't know that there's a lot of depth to the thought that goes into what's happening on social media.
That's
from
a
some
very
of these guys.
Nice way of putting it.
God, I don't think they're like over there just like ripping off the heads of dolls and smearing pig's blood on the wall because they're so ticked off about what's going on. I think they're just doing goofy things on Twitter in the midst of whatever their busy professional athlete days are.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And I want to ask you, you were hosting with Lance. It has gotten a lot of traction, and this is not the first time Lance or his partner Alex Brown has called out Eddie Jackson this season. Right. So what do you make of all of that, and what was your take of Lance's discussion with it? Because we heard a little bit of the show.
I thought it was a very, you know, unsurprisingly mature discussion that Lance had about it. And because when it comes down to it, obviously his gig, same as my gig, is you go on the air afterwards, you break down what you see. Lance is one of the great Bears of all time. There's weight that comes and credibility that comes with him describing things. And in the end, he didn't say anything real incendiary about Eddie Jackson. Said Eddie Jackson needs to make that tackle in a key moment. And he does. It's really that pure and that clear. And I don't think, you know, I doubt Eddie's sitting around thinking, you know what, I don't need to make that tackle. I do believe that, you know, whatever level of rabbit ears there may be from Eddie Jackson, where he's heard a lot of that noise, a lot of that chatter, I do try to provide some balance to that, because, you know, just taking Eddie Jackson off the field, that would hamper the Bears' secondary. There are things that Eddie Jackson does in coverage that many safeties in the NFL wouldn't even be asked to do. That being said, he's not playing like one of the top five safeties in football, but that's how he's getting paid. So he's got the privilege of those expectations that come with the way he performed earlier in his career and the way he's being paid and compensated in the National Football League. Lance Briggs knows exactly what that's about. He's been one of those guys where you get the big contract, you earn the big contract, and now folks expect you to perform like one of the best in the business week in and week out. So whether you're talking Khalil Mack or last season Robert Quinn, or pretty soon the not-too-distant future it'll be Roquan Smith, whoever it is right now at the moment, it's Eddie Jackson, where the crosshairs are trained on his performance really for a couple of seasons now. And there are things that are more difficult to notice that Eddie Jackson still does at a very high level. But in the end, the reason he's being paid so much money is because he had a historic start to his career making plays on the football, and they're just non-existent at this point, and they need to return for this defense to flourish in the way that they seemingly can.
You're here. Anthony Heron, thank you.
Preach.
You got it. Enjoy the game.
Try.
Shoulder pads up.
We will try. That is Anthony Heron.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.